Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. For you always show up when we praise you. Doesn't matter what we feel like. Doesn't really matter how it sounds. When we open our voices and give you the glory, you're there. And we thank you. We thank you already, Lord, that you're moving in many of the hearts of the people that are here this day. Because you're God. As I said earlier, you're God of more than enough. And you're already taking care of the situations that they have come to you for. We thank you, Lord, that the healing is taking place in many people's bodies right now. They're literally being healed. Not because of what I say or any other man or woman, but because you are God. And we thank you for that. We thank you because you love us. You do really love us. And that's why you do what you do. Not because of our performance, but because of your love. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen. The Father is good. I'm getting a little bit of feedback up here, but that's okay. I figure Aaron, he's a good friend of mine, he'll fix it. You know? Praise the Lord. Lord is good. I want to thank my pastor for those words, you know. I was thinking as he's talking, I'm saying, are you listening to him? And I thought, no, I'm not really listening to that. I can't listen to that. No, he's talking about somebody else. I just remember that you that know the story, and I always tell people this so that you understand. If Jesus didn't tell me to come back, I would not have come back. I really want people to understand me trying to sacrifice. Do you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't that I said, okay, Lord, I volunteer to come back. You know, I'm the one, and no one else here in heaven wants to come back to this earth, but I'll go back for you. No, it wasn't like that. He said, it's not your time, go back. And I came back. And I tell people that so they know that it was no great virtue inside of me that wanted to say, hey, I'm coming back. It was because he said, go back. So, and I'm on my journey to go back home. And you all here happen to be along the path. And I thank God for that. But I am headed back home. No one here think that I have. See, sometimes people think I went to Disneyland and came back from Disneyland. Karen just went to Disneyland and enjoyed it with her daughter, and Amanda and Jerry went down to Disneyland and a few of them. But this ain't no Disneyland you go to and come back from. Just understand that right now. So it wasn't one of those things. I want to thank everyone that helped out with my son's wedding. It was a beautiful wedding. He put it together, him and Sarah, his wife, my daughter-in-law now, which I am very grateful for, the Grecos, for having her. Where you at? I know Ben and oh, there's Nancy over there. I'm glad you had Sarah. She's been really good for my son and even me, you know. We took her on a trip about a few months ago, and it was during the snowstorm, you guys. Remember the snowstorm that we had? Oh, one of the snowstorms that we had. Okay, because we had so many, you know, remember this year? And when we were done, we had to travel all the way from Newport, Oregon, back up here during the snowstorm, you know, and it took us about 8 or 9 hours. And I love what Sarah said, it was a great adventure. She didn't talk about the time we slid almost off the road, or the time that the snow was so thick that I couldn't really see anything. She just said it was a great adventure. Ain't that a great daughter-in-law, you guys? That's good, ain't it? Yeah, so I don't know that Nancy and Bud never heard those stories, and so now they're hearing them. But she's married to Gabriel now. Praise God. So I want to thank you all and that helped out in the wedding, and then also that came yesterday. Me and my wife are very pleased, and I know the Grecos are too. Now I'm related to the Butlers and the Grecos. Do you know what that means? When I get to heaven, the Grecos are going to come and see me and the Butlers. Praise God. No. Some of you don't know that. See, your family welcomed you in. My family just got bigger. And the Grecos and the Butlers. Do you know that? No, I get excited about that. Your family members will come and welcome me in because I'm related to you. Yours too, the Grecos. Ain't that good news? And you get the Braxtons and the Stevensons. What else we got? Ellis's, McClanahan's. Got all these families going to... Well, praise God. Some of you need to know that. So you need to marry your sons and daughters off so you get more of a welcome when you come in. Praise God. Another thing I want to cover, because many of you helped out. The book is finished, you guys. It's finished. Okay. It's taken about 3 years to get it to this point. Your copies, you that have ordered pre, will be in next week, Friday. They wouldn't let me order a copy until I got a copy. They wanted to make sure that everything was correct, and I ordered those last week. So I got a bunch of them coming in. They'll be in the bookstore for you that want to buy them here, because the bookstore sell them here. But you that pre-ordered them, I've got Kelly that'll be here next week, and I'll have them all signed, and she'll hand out to the people that have already pre-ordered their books and things like that. But and Kelly's helped me in a great deal. She's the main person right now that's going to take care of the book ordering and making sure that they get out and everything. But it's done. It's here. The good thing about it, I'll let you know, is that it not only has the testimony, but like Pastor said, and I put this all on John Cook, Pastor Cook, but it has the scripture references to the things that I've quoted or said. You know, so you got about this thick of the book is just scripture references to this thick of the book of the things that God has shown me. There were so many things in heaven that he showed me. And I tell people this, and I say it right now, you can have these experiences. You can have out-of-body experiences. You can do exactly what I did. I'm not going to wish that on you, where you die and you go and come back. But I'm going to tell you something. When you come back, it has to relate to the Word of God. It has to. If you can't find it in here, then you're interpreting it different than the way God does. Whoa. Do you guys hear what I just said? Because I'm telling you right now, and Pastor John and Pastor Jan can tell you, because we met many Tuesdays. Man, just recently, didn't we, Pastor? Just recently we found something that I experienced there that he brought out in the Word of God that's so powerful. Yeah. It's in here, you guys. God is not hiding it from us. Amen. He's not trying to keep it from us. He wants us to know it. It's in here. So I just really emphasize that because I want people to know that, yeah, there's lots of people that they say they have these experiences and then they say something and you can't find it nowhere in here. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? It's their interpretation. It's their, and I say it this way, it's them interpreting it through the flesh instead of the spirit. Whoa. See, this Bible is spirit. Ain't this Bible spirit? This is spirit. It will be in here. So I just want to really emphasize to you. So that's why that's in there. I've got several people that I want to honor this morning or just thank personally in a public setting because they helped put this together. It wasn't Dean Braxton just doing it by himself, but several people in your church, in your body that you did not know had this type of talent helped me put all of this together. No. You know how good that is? See, God puts in the body those that are going to help that body do what it needs to do. So each and every one of you have things that God wants you to do to help somebody else. And he's put you in this body so that you can help someone else in this body. Amen. You know, two of the people that really helped out greatly is Jerry and Amanda. They're here. Stand up, you guys. I'm going to have you stand. You don't have to clap right now, but I want you to know that Jerry is the one that formatted this book together. I wrote it. But he put it, he made sure the spelling was correct and the way it reads is him. That's him. That's his talent that God has put in him. I'm encouraging him to start his own publishing company, to be honest with you. No, he's got the talent to do it. And Amanda helped him greatly and helped me. She's a very good organizer. Okay. The other thing in here, there's several people that wrote poems and I put them in here. One of them is his daughter. Ain't that right? She got a little poem in here. She's a published author. Do you guys hear what I just say? At 12 years old, she's published already. Praise God. Ain't that good news? The other people are Nancy Greco. She has now a published piece in here. Teresa Smith, if she was here, she'd have a published piece. And also Dodie. You guys know Dodie? She got a published piece in here. Now, Aaron Greco, just to let you know, he helped out. Where you at, Aaron? Where you at, Aaron? Oh, there. Yeah, that's right. We sit with the Grecos, don't we? He's part of my family now, too. But he has an art piece at the beginning of it. And it says really in the Greek, save generation. That's what it means, save generation. So I just want to let you know that that they helped out. Other people that helped, and I got to name them, John and Shannon, Tim Butler, Corey, Nancy, I've already said Dodie, Sion and Teresa Smith, Magali, Ephraim, Adam. You think I took the whole church to help, didn't you? Karen Krager. It was a lot of work there, wasn't it, Karen? Bruce Carr. I used Bruce at the beginning. Okay. Zane, Patrick, Brian and Kelly, Pastor John, Pastor Jan, Miguel, TJ and Jeanette. All these people helped. Is that good news or is that good news, you guys? They invested time and effort to make sure that this would go out to the world. And it is going to go out to the world. I'm not bragging about it. God has already seen to that. About a month and a half ago, I got to be a part of an organization that majority of us would say that is not saved. That's the Catholic Church. A lot of us, we don't say it out loud, but God had arranged it that about a month and a half ago that I got to be interviewed by Catholic youth on Facebook that went out live to all these other Catholic youths across the nation about this experience. And at the end of the interview, the kids asked the guy that asked me to be there why Catholics should believe this. And he gave three reasons why Catholics should believe this story. You guys hear what I just said? He opened up a door for this book to go into the Catholic Church, approved by the Catholics. You guys hear what I just said? And those that helped out, they're reaping too. This is part of their efforts to reach those people in the Catholic Church. So I wanted to say that Billy Joe and me soon. Billy Joe did our first painting on the cover. And then they put time into this. A lot of time. So I want to give them, you don't have to clap, I'm clapping for you. You don't have to clap for them, I'm clapping for them because they did a lot of hard work. Now there's CDs there's CDs in the back, you know, I give those away. And then there's a data CD for you that have computers that want a lot of the messages that I've brought over the last few years. It's on the data CD. 19 of them are on there. And they're only to be played on your computer. Okay? But there's another CD there that you guys can take home. You know, I give those away and everything like that. Just to let you know, I have a good friend here, Bill and Marva. They're coming from another church to hear me. Bill has done a lot of, promoting, but he has. You know what I mean? Of the things that's going on. And he's the one that's worked with TBN to get me on the local station for October, is it not? October the 30th, I'll be on the local station talking about the book there. He's also working right now with Sid Ross to get me on the Sid Ross show. What's that? Supernatural. And then also the national TBN is also looking at putting me on there. We don't know the exact time and date, but it's already been in the process. And he's the one that's heading up that. He believes in the story so much that he went to the media and he's the one that's really working on making sure that those things come to pass in the next few months. So you'll see my picture all over the place. Praise God. God knows what he's doing. This morning's message is something that's very dear to my heart. It will be entwined with the experience. Nothing I do in life no more cannot be entwined with this experience that I experienced. You that are here for the first time about 3 years ago, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, never forget it. You know, I died for about an hour and 45 minutes, and I got to be where the Father and Jesus is. I know that's bad English, but that's where they is. That's what it is. They're there. Okay? And my wife, along with others, my son, my daughter, you know, their part in the story is in there too, so you'll read their parts. They prayed and believed God for me coming back into this body. And I know many times people say, well, if God didn't want you there, why did they have to pray? Because in the scriptures it says in Matthew, the 6th chapter, around the 10th verse, it says, you know, we're to pray after this manner according to Jesus. You know, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it was God's will that I would not stay there. And they had to pray that through here on this planet. Whoa. Many of you need to know that. You need to know that. You know, because many times it's not God's will, but we don't pray it through on this planet. But we have that responsibility to pray it through on this planet. I think in our generation right now here on this continent, this area here, because of McDonald's and Burger King and all our fast food restaurants that we have in place, that we expect God to operate like he's a McDonald's owner. You guys understand what I'm talking about? And some of those other countries, when they pray, they believe. And when it comes, it comes. You know, but in our country, because of the McDonald's and all those other things in place, sometimes when we pray, we don't see it. So we decide that maybe he didn't hear us. Maybe we didn't say the right words. Maybe he forgot what I was talking about. Am I correct? You know, because we think sometimes that God forgets. No. That's our human thinking, because in reality, he's God. Do you not think he remembers? And the scriptures, he always talked about how he remembers something. I like when he said to Cornelius in the 10th chapter of Acts, your prayers and your arms have come up to me as a memorial. He remembered. Whoa. That's good news. So sometimes when you pray, it is God's will, but it doesn't come in the time that you think it should come on this planet. But that doesn't mean God is not doing what he needs to do. So I just want to point that out. You know, one of the things that God has just opened up to me through the scriptures with our pastor, something that God revealed to me when I was there, and that was that Jesus literally is strategizing today. He's literally strategizing right now. You know what I mean? And when I used to first bring that out, people say, what do you mean he's strategizing? What are you talking about? He's strategizing, you know? And in the sense that when I was there, I literally saw him look at these heavenly beings or these angels and look at them, and he would look at them and they would go out to do something. And I knew he was strategizing with them. Okay? And it wasn't so much that he was strategizing with them to get them to try to do what he wanted them to do. What he was strategizing about was trying to figure out who here on earth would do what he wants to do. See, when I was there, I literally saw him look at those beings, and I saw the reverence they had for him. Yes. I saw the allness, and literally that was one of the reasons I wanted to stay there, because of the allness they had for Jesus Christ, yeah. King of kings, Lord of lords. We forget that sometimes. Mm-hmm. He's King of kings, Lord of lords. Right. You know, even you that disrespect Barack Obama, if he walked in here right now, you would treat him as president, wouldn't you? Okay? I'm just putting it out there. If a dignitary from a different country, a king or something, walked in this building right now, we would recognize his kingdom. And we would give him the respect he is due, even though we may disagree with how he's doing it. But we don't do that with Jesus all the time. You know, most of us believe that we get to debate with Jesus about something. That's where his love and his grace comes in play. Isn't that right, you guys? You know, Ananias, if you read your Bible in Acts, okay, was told to go and talk to Saul, which we know as Paul, most of us that read our word of God. Okay, but he even said to the Lord, do you know who this is? Am I correct? He said, do you know who this is? This man was sent to, and I heard that he really comes down here to hurt people like me. And you want me to go and put myself in front of him? And the Lord said, go Didn't even address him. You understand what I mean?
Right.
He said, go. The good thing about it, like most of us, the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11, 12, 13, 14 times, we go. Am I right? But let me take all those numbers up and let's just call it number one. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when I was there, those heavenly beings, those are what we call angels. They showed him that respect. They didn't question what he was doing. They didn't roll their eyes and said, oh, he's come up with some great plan now. We got to do what he's got going. And man, you know, they didn't do that. They didn't get a conference together and say, come on, Bill, let's talk about this. Because Jesus, he's off, isn't he? We got to talk about this. You guys hear what I'm saying? They looked at him. They bowed. They did not turn their back to him. And they left. King of Kings, Lord of Lords.
Amen.
I like the way that Michael says it in Jude. If you read Jude, when Satan came and was debating about Moses' body. You guys heard that story. And all Michael said is, the Lord rebuked you. That was the end of that question. It was done with. We don't need to debate. We don't need to talk about it. We don't need to say anything else. It's done with. And I saw that. I literally saw those beings react to Jesus like that. And I wanted to be a part of that group. I wanted to stay there because of that reason too. Because they knew he was Lord of Lords and King of Kings. My son can tell you when he came into town and he was by my hospital bed. And I looked at him. I said, son, I'm not singing no songs at all that does not say that he's Lord of Lords or King of Kings. I'm telling you, that's how I was. My wife came into the room one time. I said, what are you doing here? We got work to do. They can tell you this man was not compromising at all anything in the sense of getting out there and getting people born again. Because I had just been before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now, I'll be honest with you. He said later on to me, grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Some of you need to hear that. Grace and mercy. You know? So as I was watching this take place, I came to understand that each body that is on this planet that confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that he literally is strategizing with that body to do what he wants to be done in the area that they are placed in. It's no accident that by his word is here. It's no accident that Bill and his wife's church is where they're at. It's no accident that any of you that go to a different church, that your church that you attend is there for a reason. It's been placed there not because of man, but because of Jesus Christ. But we don't think of it that way. You know? I used to be one of those guys with a tricycle that ride from church to church. I didn't like this church. I whine about it. That's why I call it a tricycle. You guys hear what I'm just saying? Yep. Three-wheeler. You guys know what I'm talking about? I didn't like the way they did things. I almost sound just like him, man. I've been hanging around with him too much. Let me get over here. You know? Man. Praise God. But they'll go over on this side with their tricycle and they'll be there for a little while with their tricycle and then something will happen again. And they'll ride over to somebody else's church for a little while with their tricycle and then something else will happen again. And then they'll ride over to someone else's church for a little while. They can't even become a part of the strategy of God because they're moving from church to church. They can't even become. Today or this week, my pastor was talking about in Revelation. You can turn there, the first chapter. We're really going to read out of the second chapter. I just want to point this out. He's got more insight on this, and he'll probably bring it up sometime. But it has really opened a door for me that, Lord, I knew when I was there that each and every body was put in place for the strategies of Jesus Christ. I knew. It wasn't a new doctrine I was coming up with. It wasn't something I was thinking was there. It was there and I knew it. And when my pastor recently opened up this area, starting at the second chapter, well, even the 20th verse, we'll start right there in the first chapter. The mysteries of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand. Those seven stars literally are the seven pastors of the seven churches he's getting ready to talk about. And he's saying, I literally got these seven pastors in my hand. Guys, hear what I just said? And then he goes on to talk about he's walking. As you read on, it says this. And the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels. That word is translated as pastor. Of the seven churches. And the seven golden lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Literally, he has the pastors in his hands. You guys hear what I just said? And he's walking among the seven churches. This opened up the door that God is strategizing with each and every church. Because from then on, you read the second and third, he starts addressing the pastor and the churches of what they need to do to be able to accomplish what he wants them to accomplish. I know sometimes we think of it as one big conglomerate, one big church, and it is. But he has bodies in every church. And in that body of that group of people, he has a body that he's working with. Literally, he is taking that body and moving it in a way that it needs to be moved to reach the community that it's in. Oh, you guys got to get that. You got to get that. And literally, he goes on later on and talks in the second and the third chapter of what that body needs to do to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. Read it. Yeah. Read it. Now that's no different than any church on this planet that confesses Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's doing the same thing. Literally, your pastor is in his hand.
Right. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, I don't agree with everything that my pastor is doing. You read this. Six out of the seven churches were not doing what Jesus wanted them to do.
That's true.
And he literally still says, I got them in my hand. Oh.
Praise God.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Ain't that what he said?
Yep. Exactly.
You read it. And he's talking to the pastor. And he's talking to the church. Pastor says, and I'll just say this, because pastor, I know you're going to talk about this later on. Well, you are now that I'm talking about, huh? But it's so good. It needs to come out. You know? Because we got people today that say, I don't need to belong to anybody. I can have my own church in front of TBN. Or Daystar. And I'm not saying those are not good programs. But I'm going to say, if you really want to be used of God, you need to be a part of a body due to the fact that right here, that's what he's saying.
Right. Amen.
If you want to be effective in the kingdom of God, you need to be a part of a body.
Amen.
And I know many of you are saying, man, I don't know if I want to make that commitment. He made the commitment to you. Many people say, what do I got to do to get into heaven? How do I have to do that? And I always say, are you born again? And they say, yeah, I've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but I know I still got to work to get in. How many of you believe that? You guys hear what I just said? Many people believe they have to work to get into heaven. And I tell people, you're already in. So, because when I left this body, I did not go through any transformation. I left this flesh here, my spirit left and went there. It didn't get cleaned up as I was going. One of the things that really amazed me is I didn't go through any transformation. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? Because I know Dean. You think you know me. You guys hear what I'm saying? You think you know me. I know Dean. You know what I mean? You know yourself. You know, I could shine my shoes, press my pants, you know, have the best looking haircut in the world. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? And you could all think, man, he is sharp. But on the seat inside, I could be as dirty as anything. Mm-hmm. You guys know what I'm talking about. Each and every one of us know ourselves better than anybody else.
True.
We know ourselves. But when I left this body, I did not go through any transformation. I tell people, he looked at me, saw himself inside of me, and I was in. That's simple. I didn't have to do no dance before him. I didn't have to say, well, you know, Lord, this is, and this, and remember this, and remember that, and remember that. I didn't even get a chance to even try to advocate for myself. You guys hear me? He looked at me, saw himself inside of me, and I was in. When did I get in? The day I said, Jesus Christ, you're my Lord and my Savior. The day I accepted him, I was in. Many of you think that you have to work to get in, and I'm saying you're in. What do you mean I'm in? You're in. What do you mean I'm in? Don't I have to do this, this? No, you're in. What do you mean I'm in? No, you're in. And then I tell the people a lot of times, because you're in, do the things you're supposed to be doing. Billy Joe was in the military, Army. I was in the Air Force. Yes. I was in the Air Force. And I remember when I got into the Air Force, they gave me the uniform. I put it on. They gave me the hat, the shoes, everything. I put it on. Okay. They taught me how to salute. You know what I mean? They taught me how to march. They taught me how to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Okay? But I didn't do all that to get in. Do you guys hear me? I didn't do all that to get in. I was already in. I did what the military wanted me to do because I was already in. I was in. You're already in.
Right.
Stop working at it. Do it because you're already in.
Praise the Lord.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
So here you have this strategy going on. And God is working with these bodies of believers. Oh boy. And he looks at the body of believers and he says, which body of believers can I use? It usually goes like this. Which pastor can I use? Which body can I use? Which member can I use?
Right.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. So he looks down and he sees this pastor. He says, okay, he is doing the things I want him to do in this area so I can use him. He starts giving out the word like God wants him to give out the word to that body.
Uh-huh.
It may be different than another body because the assignment for that body is different than another assignment.
That's good.
The end goal is the same, to get people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
That's right.
I was told that if I go to China or I go to Asia, that I cannot talk about certain things because they would believe in reincarnation if I say it the way I experienced it. They were telling me the strategy for communicating certain ways that I experienced there were going to have to be different. Because they believe in reincarnation. You know? And if I say some of the things that I experienced in heaven, they'll say, oh boy, I better watch out. That cockroach is my uncle. That's what they said. So So the Father was preparing me already to say, if you go before my people here, you're going to have to say it a different way. Because the strategy needs to be different than it is here. Many times we as bodies, as churches, we throw stones at each other so much. That was one of the most things inside of me I know that Jesus grieves over. Is how many times we throw stones at each other.
Come on.
You guys hear what I'm just saying? He said, I got the 7 stars in my hand. Do you not think they're accountable to him?
Mm-hmm.
Not accountable to me. Accountable to him.
Yes.
He said, I walk among the 7 churches. Do you not think they're accountable to him? He's strategizing. He's looking at the pastor. He's looking at the body. He's looking at the individual member. And when I was there, it hit me. Every member of that heavenly experience was doing one thing. And you always say, they were praising the Lord. Yes, they were doing that. They were worshiping the Lord. Yes, they were doing that. But they were also serving each other. They were serving each other. And it seemed like, and it was not this way, but it seemed like they were trying to outserve each other. This morning, Chuck wanted to take my briefcase. And I looked at him, and my indication was, I can carry my own briefcase. That's what I was thinking on the inside. But then I thought to myself, I'm preaching on service. Let him have it. He wants to serve me. He wants to serve me. God looks at the pastor. Okay. He looks at the body. Okay. Now I'm looking at who I can use to be a servant. Ooh. Is that good news or is that good news? In Philippians, the 2nd chapter, let's turn there. Because I want you to know this is scriptural. This is so scriptural that and you cannot say it is not scriptural without lying. 2nd chapter of Philippians. Fifth verse. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of man. Real short, because I don't have the time to go into it, but I will do my best to make it as short as possible. I know what Jesus left to come here, you guys. I know what he left to come here. This morning when we're singing about going through the things that we go through, I was tearing up. Because it's not a situation for me anymore. I know what it's like to be in rightness and have no sin around you. I know what it's like to be in... be in a place that passes any peace that anyone could ever imagine in their mind. I know what it's like to be in a true life where nothing is dying. No one gets upset with no one. No one's offended because someone did something. I know what it's like. And to hear that my Lord left all of that, come here. I left here to go there and came back. But he had no understanding until he came here of what it would be like to live in a fleshly body that literally has sin incorporated within it. He came out of a place that was truly no sin at all. You guys hear what I'm saying? Into a body that literally wrapped him in sin. And then for the next 33 years, walked in it and lived among us. Until that day that he had literally had to die on a cross and become a curse for us to return back into that realm. I know what it's like. But I tell people all the time, he was not born in this environment. He was not created in this environment. He was created in an environment that had no sin. We all that are here, we don't know how bad it is. We're used to most of the stuff we got going on. A friend of mine went home the other day. He went to heaven. He stayed. And I was telling my wife, we're so used to this place that we don't realize how bad it really is. There's things that are in our bodies that we are so used to that we just ignore. But there you don't have that. The little itch here, the little pain there. You guys hear what I'm saying? You don't have the relatives that get on your nerves there. You don't have a mama that's trying to control you. Or the daddy that's telling you everything that he used to do that you need to do now. You don't have the brother that's competing against you. You guys hear what I'm saying? You don't have no one criticizing what you wear today. What shoes you put on. If you shaved or you didn't shave, Hal, that's right. You don't have any of that there. You say, those are minor things. I'm telling you, they're so minor to us because we got used to them. But when they're removed from you, you realize how big they really were. And he came into this environment so that you could leave this environment. Did you hear what I just said? So he gave us an example of being a servant here. You read in the Bible, in all the Gospels, where he washed the feet. And I'm not saying let's go around washing each and everyone's feet, because some of us do it and then we're done with it and that's it. You guys know what I'm talking about? And then we're going to tell everybody how we washed everybody's feet. Because we want people to pat us on the back for washing people's feet. I used to sell shoes. I know all about feet. I'm just letting you be honest. I'm being honest with you. Okay. I've seen some feet. I smelt some feet. Okay. That's not what he's trying to get across. He wants to get across that heart attitude of service.
Yes, right.
I know this for a fact. If every person in this building had the attitude of serving each other, almost in the attitude of trying to outserve each other, you wouldn't get offended. You wouldn't get offended. You wouldn't get mad because someone did it this way or someone did it that way, because you're not looking at how they did it. You're saying, I want to serve. I want to serve you. So you did it that way. Okay, I'm serving you. It's not going to stop you from serving somebody. I know that for a fact. Unity. We always think unity will be when we all come together and we're all just praising in one area. But I'm going to tell you something. Unless you got a servant attitude, your prayers just got a ways to go. You're saying, what are you talking about? Because, see, a servant attitude with that praise and worship, you're serving the Lord with praise and worship. You're giving it to Him. And you know what He does? He gives it right back to you. Because He comes to serve you. It's a circle. We call it love. But the action is service. That's what it is. When I get the opportunity and they ask me, I get to go and serve the 2-year-olds in the children's ministry. And every single time I go and do it, someone tells me I missed something in church. Oh, you should have been there. You missed it. And I'm thinking in my head, did I miss it, or was I doing what God wanted me to do, which was to serve those 2-year-olds? Do you guys hear what I just said? Because if I'm in the service attitude and I'm doing what God wants me to do, which is to serve others, then I miss it. Many times people don't want to be in those service areas because they're thinking they're going to miss something here. I came to understand true worship is doing what God wants you to do. If he tells you to take one step, you're worshiping him. You take 2 steps, you're worshiping him. That's true worship. And I came to understand that. I get the opportunity now to serve all over the place. Sometimes the service gets me in trouble. I'm not going to lie. Service does. Got Jesus in trouble. Got him beat, talked about, whipped, hung on a cross. Yes. You guys hear what I just said? Yep. Service costs. Yep. But the rewards are greater than you can ever imagine.
Amen.
Someone could come in here with $1 million today, and I guarantee you it doesn't compare nothing to heaven. Someone could come in here with $1 trillion. I guarantee you, it doesn't compare nothing to heaven. I'm just telling you guys. Because a lot of us are trying to make this our home and this our heaven. And if you're trying to do that, that's a fleshly thing. This church has been last few months been talking about the flesh. Do you think that's an accident?
No.
Wait. 7 stars. Let's put 8 in there, Jan Butler. Okay. 8 stars. You do this, you do this, you do this. You need to really emphasize on the flesh right now because your body is getting ready to be used in a spiritual manner. And they need to understand the difference between their flesh and their spirit so they can really go out and do the spiritual work that I need them to do and not in a fleshly manner. So they really got to understand it. So I'm going to dig you even deeper and 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 deeper. So that I can use them the way I want to use them.
Yes.
In the service that I've called them to be used in.
Amen.
Some of you right now are saying, God has not called me. You in this church, you're called.
Amen.
If you're in Bill and Marvin's church, you're called.
Amen.
If you're in any other churches out there that someone's from another church, you're called.
Yeah.
You guys hear what I'm saying? You're called. Called to do what? Serve. I challenge you to go around and serve each other. Look to serve each other.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's grabbing one of our elderly females, our males, and helping them not stumble down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys hear what I just said?
Amen.
That's service. If it's just going up to someone and talking to them. You understand what I'm saying? In a way to make sure that they feel like they're inclusive in this body. That's service.
That's right.
It's good.
And not just to do it because it sounds good or it looks good. And don't worry about meeting everybody else. Just do the one that God has asked you to do.
That's right.
That's good. That's good.
That's service.
Yep.
Whatever way you could serve each other, serve each other. Serve each other. You talking about unity? You talking about a breakout? See? That's what they did in the early church. You look at it. They served each other. It was part of God's strategy. It was part of God's plan.
Amen.
And he knows what he's doing.
Amen.
Is that good news or is that good news, you guys?
Amen.
Father, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for this time. I thank you because you serve us all the time. Even during the times, Father, when we don't realize that you're serving us. Some of us got up this morning, didn't feel good, physically or emotionally. And because of your love, and because of you serving us, that's changed. It's changed in such a way that we understand that we belong to you and that you love us. Father, we thank you right now that you have a plan for this church, that you are strategizing with this body, that you're using our pastors in such a way so that we may be more effective in this area that this place is planted. We thank you for that, Lord. Personally, Father, I thank you for myself and my wife and how we have become a part of this body and how you have connected us, not only in the sense of spiritually, but even through relationships. I thank you for the good friends we have that call us family. And they don't just say it because it sounds good, because that's the way they really believe it is. I thank you, Lord, that you love them so much that nothing will stop you from accomplishing in their lives what you want to accomplish in their lives, because you have a work for them on this planet to reach as many people as possible for your Son, for yourself, and through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dean. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you for Dean's message. I thank you for what you've done for our church this morning. But Father, I feel a movement in my heart to invite your people to the altar today when we close, to get with you and get right with you. For I know the time is short. I can sense it in my own spirit. It's short. And there needs to be a message sent out to the church. And I thank you for ministers like Dean, who literally has experienced something so wonderful that it can be given to the churches so that they could be aware of the important things that matter to you while they yet walk upon planet Earth. Father, I thank you that we have a place we can go and get on our knees and say, Father, forgive me for what I am doing. Father, change the way that I need to think about it so I can escape from it. Father, we love you and we praise you. And I feel the importance of this in my spirit today. That when I dismiss this service, those of you that feel you need to come and talk to Jesus personally, maybe you're not into sin, whatever it is, but you want to settle an issue with Him, today is going to be the time you can get on your knees and talk to your Heavenly Father. And it is important that you do that. Don't leave this facility the same way you came in, but leave it with a change of heart and mind. When you know you're in error and doing wrong, change it before you leave this facility. It is important. It is important. For life is so uncertain for the unbeliever and those who are in wayward places. But life is so certain for those of us that are born again and in His wonderful presence. And so, Father, even if there's somebody here that has never received you as our Lord and Savior, we want to pray for them and lead them out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. For we love you so much, Father. Father, I say, I thank you that I've remained in that first love since you really spoke to my heart 16 years ago to get out of that place I was in as a pastor, cold and lukewarm. And I thank you, Father, your fire burns in my heart. And I thank you that anything that you put in my mouth to give to your people will kindle that first love, that early love back in their life. and how important it is. And Father, if anybody needs healing, Father, they can go to the feet of the healer and take that position of declaration of your discipline that you've given them to pass the test that they could not qualify for, to receive physical healing. And may they be determined to take it by force of what you've already given them in Jesus' name. So everybody stand up. If you're new here and first time here, we welcome you this morning. And if you want to come back next Sunday, we're going to be opening up our hospitality room. And we'll be doing a procedure where we invite you back to the hospitality room to give you information and to allow you to ask questions, things like that. So if you're new here this morning, you plan on coming back next Sunday, prepare for that invitation at the end of the service. And with that said, Father, I thank you that as we dismiss this service and your wonderful people depart, those, Father, that you move in their heart to come forward and pray at the altar, may they do that. And Father, may they make great connection with you today and how imperative it is that they do that. And Jesus, I sense in my spirit, it is imperative that you do that this morning. Oh, I sense that in my spirit. It is imperative that you talk to the Lord this morning about your situation. People, I'm telling you, something in me is urging me to tell you to please come forward and please kneel at the altar and communicate with your Heavenly Father about your situation. I feel it is absolutely a must. And with that said, you're dismissed. God bless you.